Talk about something very relevant to this day and time that we're living in. Yes. Yes, bring her on up here. Yes. This is the best place to bring her. There it is. Beautiful. What's her name? Zoe. She is right. You're so pretty. You're gorgeous. Y'all guys ready? Well, I just well, spray bottles up here somewhere. I then lost my spray bottle, but it's all right. We'll do it this way. You ready? Lay your hand on her. Ready? We're gonna pray for you, Zoe. Father, we love you. We praise your name. We thank you, Lord, for little Zoe. We thank you, God, for touching her body. Lord, showing your power and your anointing in the name of Jesus. And we trust you right now because we know you're doing something special. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen, amen, amen. All right, all right. There's the spray bottle. God's good. A middle-aged man wasn't feeling well, so he went to the doctor for a checkup. After a thorough examination, the doctor said, well, based on my examination, the best thing for you to do is to cut out all sweets, all fatty foods, give up alcohol, and stop smoking. The man thought for a while and said, well, to be honest with you, doc, I don't deserve the best. What's the second best? Amen. Well, a lot of people are living on the second best, and we don't want to do that. Amen? We want to live on the best. So we're going to talk just a little while. Well, this is part one because I want to stop and really take our time with this. So this is part one, and it might be going in this direction for a while because of all the craziness that's going on in our country right now. It boggles my mind at how polarized our nation is and how much problems it's got. No matter which way anything goes, there's problems. And God's got to take control, because if he doesn't take control, we're sunk. Amen? We're just sunk. God's got to do something. Amen? So get your Bibles out. You don't have to. Matter of fact, I'm just going to put it up here for you. So you don't even have to even get your Bible out. Everybody stand. Get your Bible if you want to. We're going to talk about dealing with something very powerful right now. That's burnout. Burnout is very real. Burnout is a very strong thing in this world right now. And burnout affects or can affect everyone. But once burnout affects one person in your family, one person, y'all say one person. When burnout affects one person in your family, it affects the whole family. Amen? So you got to think about this now. When burnout affects one, it affects all. Same way on your job, if you've got some people that you're working close with, one person being burnt out can make it hard on everybody else. And the person that really gets the worst part of it in the burnout is that person themselves. Because a lot of times they don't want to admit it, or they think they can keep on going. And I can promise you that there comes a time where you just can't keep on going. Amen? So here it is right here. Ready? I'll put it up there for you. You can look in your Bible or look up here. What sayest thou, O Jacob, and speaketh, O Israel? My way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Stretch forth your hands this way. Father, we thank you, God, for your power. We thank you for your anointing. We thank you, God, that you are alive and well on the throne, Father. And Lord, we can look around and turn on the television and every news station. When you see all this crazy stuff that's going on, Lord, we know that a lot of this has to deal with burnout. And I ask you right now, Lord, to help this world. But not only to help this world, let's bring it down a little closer. Let it, Lord, help our world, our own personal world. Lord, if we're the one that's burnt out, help us learn to admit it and ask you for help. And if we're not the one that has the burnout, help us to help the ones that do before we burn out trying to help them. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch and anoint in such a way that we'll know, God, that you showed up and showed off. In the name of Jesus, we pray. The church said, amen. You can be seated. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise on the way down. Now I want to again, this is very powerful, and you know, I think it came actually, you know, with us trying to take care of my father-in-law and mother-in-law, and then my father-in-law died, and now we're trying to take care of mother-in-law, and things seem like everything's dragging its feet. We thought we got help, we had some help, then we lost the help, and you know, the things were going to be taken care of. They told us set back and wait. We got this. They didn't have this. And now we're back to square one again, and we're waiting for God to move and all that. and I can see how easy people can get burnt out. Even when you're trying to do the best you can possibly do and help somebody else, it's very easy to get burnt out. And so I like this version. Very powerful. The message says, why would you ever complain, O Jacob, or whine, Israel, saying, God has lost track of me? He doesn't care what happens to me. Has anybody ever said that? You don't have to raise your hand. Nobody's taking names. But have you ever said that? God, do you even see where I'm at? Do you even care? If you really see me, God, are you really going to help me? Are you going to do something to help? Sometimes I know this sounds kind of bad, but you know, you tell somebody they're trying to stand by you, don't just stand there and do something. Sometimes you want to say, God, don't just stand there and do something. And he's going, you got to let me do it my way and in my time. You see, don't you know anything? Haven't you been listening? God doesn't come and go. God lasts. He's the creator of all you can see and imagine. He doesn't get tired. He doesn't pause to catch his breath. He knows everything inside and out. He energizes those who get tired. He gives fresh strength to dropouts. Or even the young people do tire and drop out. And young folks in their prime stumble and fall. But they that wait upon the Lord gets fresh strength. They spread their wings and soar like eagles. They run and don't get tired. They walk and don't lag behind. So now, the problem of this age, the number one problem, it's not whether you're Democrat or Republican. It's not whether you're conservative or whether you're liberal. That's not the number one problem of this age. The number one problem of this age is burnout. Let me put that again, is burnout. Amen? See, many are burnt out, meaning they got nothing left to give. Some are burned up. They're just so consumed. It's gone. And then there's some that are burned through. They're hurting. But the bottom line in all this, everybody's burning the candle at both ends. We're trying to help ourselves. We're trying to help others. We're trying to do the best that we can to get through. But the bottom line is that our strength, if we're not careful, has been zapped. And you got to watch it. You know, I was reading here because all these shootings, you know, and all this stuff that's going on around us, you know, as I began looking, I did some research. And this may not be the most accurate of all researches, but this is a reputable place where I got this. But the United States, the world itself, but especially the United States, is having a mental health crisis. It's mental health. We want to blame guns. We want to blame it. It's kind of like if a man gets a DWI, you want to blame the car. Anybody ever got a DWI, want to blame the car? Well, it's the car's fault. I shouldn't have been driving the Ford. You know, or you drown and say, well, it's the pool's fault. No. So you can say all day long it's the gun's fault. It's not the gun's fault. It's people have a mental health crisis. Yes, we need to find a way to do better with our guns. Yes, we do. We need to take a better survey of finding out who's capable and who's not and all that. But at the same time, remember, it's not the gun's fault. It's a mental health problem. And people are burnt out. They can't take it anymore. I remember as a high schooler, Back in the day when we drove horses to school. Anybody ever been in the FFA? I was in the FFA, and we did something called initiation, and they had initiated me with 10 guys held me down, pulled me up in the air, and gave me a pink belly. My belly was black and blue for a month because they didn't give little bitty pink bellies. They hit hard. I thought they used a bat. Well, a friend of mine who was already on the edge, they pulled him down, and I can't remember if they did that to him or threw him in a bucket that was on a 55-gallon drum that was on fire, something, you know. And when he finally got up, he got so mad. I remember this because I was watching. He drove. He walked to the parking lot. When he got in the parking lot, he took it and drove right back up to school and went in the back of his trunk and opened it up and grabbed a rifle. And that was back in 78. They had to calm him down because he was going to shoot somebody. Because he was already, his nerves were on edge. He was having problems at home. And then these guys hold him down. He weren't expecting. They beat him, whatever it did. But I remember that to this day. The look of fear and terror on everybody, especially him, when he pulled in, got out of his car, and reached in the trunk and grabbed a shot or a gun. Okay, a rifle. So I did a little statistic thing here. You know, in the USA alone, just the USA alone, since January. Okay? And again, you might find statistics different anywhere, but I checked on two different sites, and so these are ones that came up. What's called a mass shooting is when four or more people are hurt or killed. That's called a mass shooting. Four or more people are hurt or killed. Now, in the United States, we average one a day since January. We've averaged one a day. You don't see them all over on the TV, but we've averaged one a day since January. And so there's not been a single week that there hasn't been at least four plus. That was the average, but there hasn't been a single week since January that hasn't been four plus mass shootings. Right now, the number for mass shootings, some say it's between 230 and 250, depending on where you're getting your research at. But 250 people have been injured or killed in mass shootings since January in the United States. In the United States. And so they said, well, it's just the age that we live in. Okay, I agree with that, but watch this. 2014, 91 people died in mass shootings in the United States at this time in June. 2015, 116 died. In the year 2016, 121 died. In 2017, 141 died. 2018, 106. 2019, 147. 2020, 155. 2021, 240. 2022, depending on where you look at it, is 232 confirmed deaths from mass shootings in the United States. So we watch TV and hear about one every now and then. Remember, the average is there's one a day somewhere. And that's at least four people getting shot and or killed. All right. The problem is a mental health problem. Now you go to the gas station and people start seeing their gas. And the, you know, like I said, my gas one time was like $25 to fill my gas tank up. $25, and now it was $65 the other day, and I went, really? And I turned around, and the guy had a big SUV and said, be glad, Bubba. I was telling one of my people at a family gathering yesterday, I said, I can't believe I paid $65, and they said, well, mine cost me 100 and something to fill up. His truck. And I went, I'm glad I don't have that truck. And when you start talking about it, people get mad. You start talking about the grocery store, people get mad. I went to go get Little Caesar's pizza. It used to be $5 for a pizza. It went to $5.50. I said, well, I can understand that. Well, yesterday it was $6. It just keeps going up, up, up. The Dollar Tree went to $1.25. Now they've gone, now they've got a $5 aisle, $5, $3. Wow. Because you can't keep up with what's going on around us. And people are losing their mind. They're losing their cool. because now they're trying to decide what kind of food am I going to have to eat to make it stretch through the week? What kind of work am I supposed to do because I've got to make sure I got money to get gas to where I'm going? And then you got your kids needing something every time they turn around, and people are burnt out. I found out lately the way I've been counseling people, and it's just been amazing to me, the burnout. And now I tell them sometimes, like, I don't have time to answer all your questions right now. Here's my phone number. Text me, and I'll text you back. We'll do text therapy. And there was four people yesterday texting me, wanting to know how to handle the pressure. People are burning out. And what makes it worse is we're leaving God out of the equation. When you leave God out of the equation, it gets worse and worse and worse. What happens is first, frustration. Can't do a thing about it. Then there's disappointment because there never seems to be any change. Then depression because you feel helpless. Then there's doubt because now you're hopeless and nothing will ever change. But the bottom line is people are having faith breakdowns. And there's been some people I go say, well, you just got to trust God in this and look at His Word. And they go, don't bring me that spiritual super duper whopper whooper stuff. I said, excuse me. And one of the people running for their office, I read it last night. I couldn't believe it. The ways they got put in office is because they said, I was raised in a good Christian environment, a good Christian home. I got good Christian standards. And here they are. They got elected to do what they're going to do. And now it's time to another election. And with all this Roe versus Wade stuff, the person actually, I read it. I'm not going to say who it was, but the person said, I discovered that God's got nothing to do with this. Wow. Really? And the big word is we've evolved. We've evolved. We've evolved. And while everybody's evolving, people are crushing under the pressure and they're burnout. So here it is. 27 again. I want to read it one more time. Read it from the Message here. Why would you complain, O Jacob, and whine, Israel, saying, has God lost track of me? Doesn't He care what happens to me? Don't you know anything? Haven't you been listening to me, God? Wow. It's just everywhere. There's nowhere that you can go to find any relief from this. And so, as I was looking at this, and as I was reading it, I broke it down. Just 27, and we're going to stay on 27 today, and I can keep you long, and then we're going to go to other ones next week. The reactions, watch this. Here's the reactions when you have a faith breakdown. Now, if you're in here today and you're suffering burnout, I want to find out also, is part of your burnout because you're having a faith breakdown? Here it is. First, you react. Here's your problems. You can't do a thing about it. There's nothing you can do. You're sitting back you just got to trust God in all this, and you go, look, then the Bible says, well, what do you say? Or why did you say, Jacob? Or the Message says, why would you ever complain? The NIV says, why do you complain, Jacob? Say and complain. Pressure's built up and you got to have some release. That's why people complain. And if people keep complaining about the same thing over and over and over again, you know what that means? They haven't got any justification. They don't have any answers to what they've been asking. If somebody keeps asking you the same thing over and over again, and you're telling them something, but they keep asking the same thing, you know what that means? That you've given an answer, but you haven't given the correct answer to them. You may give the correct answer to the problem, but you haven't touched them yet. That's why they keep asking. And so you have to ask God for wisdom to how to make this to where you know the answer, and you can tell them about it. So look, and then there's the reasoning. My way is hidden from the Lord. He can't even see this. It's beyond Him. You see, when that happens, Satan has a very powerful advantage over you. When you think God can't see you anymore, he's not watching. He says, "Oh Jacob, why are you complaining, oh Jacob, and whining, Israel, that God has lost track of me, that he doesn't care what happens to me?" God cares what happens to you. He cares so much that he sent his son to die for you. Not only that, but watch this. Watch. He already told you what was coming down the pipe. He told us this was going to happen. He told us so that we don't have to be afraid when all this happens. He told us so we can be prepared. He told us so we can stand up strong and keep our faith. And you know what? Yes, things have gone crazy, but I'm still going to trust my God. Amen? Yes, people have lost their ever-loving mind. I'm still going to trust my God. God has never, never let us down. Notice he never let us down. He already told us this was going to happen. So, you know, he's not the God that says, "I told you so." But you know what? If he wanted to, he could tell you, "I told you so. I told you it's going to happen." So then there's the resolve. "Because my cause has been disregarded from my God." The NIV says that. It says, "Why do you complain when my way is hidden from the Lord? My cause is disregarded from my God." Now, watch this. He doesn't see it. He doesn't care. He has just thrown it and me to the side. I promise you, God hasn't thrown you to the side. He's watching you. If his eyes are on the sparrow, he's been to every sparrow since the beginning of time. He's been to every sparrow's funeral. And because he's been to every sparrow's funeral, and he says, "Look at these sparrows. I've been to all their funerals." And he said, "I've been there. I've been there watching them, and they're just worth 2 cents. He says, "Aren't you much more worth than those sparrows? I'm watching. I see. You know, it's only by the grace of God we're not consumed now. And the reason you're still here is because God wants to use you to show somebody else that we can make it through this. But we make it through it with our faith in God and believing that God's going to do what he said he was going to do." So here's some responses. And believe me, I hear them all the time. I see them all the time. You know, first thing, people run. They can't get enough distance between them and their problem. But the problem is, no matter where you go, guess what? You're still going to be there. Run all you want. You're still going to be there when you get there. Amen? Look, Psalm 51 or Psalm 55 and 6 says, "So I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest." Nah. You know, the dove hides. When the dove thinks that there's any kind of trouble, the dove will try to find a place to hide and burrow down in because it won't fly. But you know, I like when I ride by the fish farm on the way up here, things are looking bad, and I don't see any other birds out, but I see the eagle flying around. I say, "Yeah, we got bad weather coming." And DC and Danny said, "Why, Daddy?" I said, "Because where's all the other birds?" "See, we don't see them." I said, "What's up there flying around?" They said, "The eagles." I said, "Yeah, because see, all the other birds are flying in the storm. The eagle flies above the storm." And that's why you see the eagle when you don't see anybody else. So run. And then the next one is just to deny it. You know, you avoid the problem altogether. And when you avoid your problem altogether, that just gives your problem more power. Amen? Jeremiah 17 and 9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Yes, we've got a problem in this world today. We've got a problem in this nation today. We've got a problem even in the local areas. We've got a problem today. We've got all kinds of problems. I'm going to be taking care of some of them tomorrow when I go to B5. And I get to hear some things that honestly will blow your mind when you hear some of the things, you know, that I hear. And it's not just once or twice, it's all the time. You're hearing these things all the time. All the time. And then, "Can you pray for me?" Yes, I can pray for you. Well, what do I do? And so we start talking about what we got to do and how we get through this thing. You know, last week there was a guy there, and I was going to do another entirely different study, and the Lord spoke to me on Sunday night and said, "I want you to go back. Go back, just as clear as a bell, go back to forgiving yourself. And so that's what I did. I got it, forgiving yourself, and I sat down and I said, fellas, I was going to talk about something else because y'all been asking me other subjects, but the Lord spoke to me last night and I should be talking to you about forgiving yourself. And immediately you'd have thought that I had slapped them all with a wet fish. Their eyes got big and they put their head down. I said, you're right, God. And one guy who had never even talked to me said, can I go in the box and talk to you after we get through? Can I talk to you in the box? And I walked in the box with him and he said, dude, he said, I've been here all day or for over a week now. And I've been beating myself up. And he said, I just wish I knew how to forgive myself. And he says, you walk in and say, we're going to talk about forgiving ourselves. He said, whoa. I said, because God's watching. That's not my idea. I was going to preach on something a whole lot different today. That God was watching and God heard your prayers and God's letting you know that he's not just leaving you here to take care of yourself. He's there even though you don't see it. Amen? So you can run from your problems. You can deny your problems. And here's the biggie. I mean, this is a big one nowadays. If it ever come up, come on, buddy. You got her. There it is. Is give up. All your fight's gone and you just lose your appetite for victory. Have you lost your appetite for victory? Think about that before you say a word, before you even raise your hand or whatever. Have you lost your appetite for victory? How do you know you've lost your appetite for victory? Here it goes. Watch this. Well, what it is what it is. It don't matter anyway. I'm just here. I'm pulling eight. Those people, when you say that, examine yourself because you're losing your appetite for victory. Galatians, I got three different versions. I want to read it to you. Galatians 6 and 9. The New Living Translation says, so don't get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we do not give up. Galatians 6:9, the Message says, so let's not allow ourselves to get fatigued doing good. At the right time, we will harvest a good crop if we don't give up or quit. And the Amplified Version says, and let us not lose heart and grow weary and faint in acting nobly and doing right. For in due time and at the appointed season, we shall reap if we do not loosen and relax our courage and faint. So, when it says, do not grow weary in well-doing, what it says is, don't allow yourself to be burnt out. Now, I'm just going to quickly, because I'm getting ready to close, we'll quickly just give you a little something, an appetizer, because next week's going to be, we're going to dig down. This was just the intro. Amen. Next week we're going to, this was setting the table. Next week we've got the meat coming. If you smell, the grill's cooking right now. Do you smell what the rock is cooking? Not the rock, the rock. All right. Well, what do I do? Well, how do I handle this right now? I don't want a Band-Aid. Here it is. Ready? Get ready. Number one, recognize that your flame is quickly becoming an ember. Well, it is what it is. Let's just flow with the punches. I didn't expect to win anyway. Well, I just prepare for the worst and expect the worst, and if God does better, then okay. Your flame is flickering. And it's becoming an ember. So recognize this. Be able to tell God, okay, God, all right, I've had it. I've had it up to here. I need to, watch this. I said that before to God many times. God, I've had it. And then he says, then why are you still behind the wheel? Why do you keep insisting on driving if you don't know how to get there? I remember a time we were going to Tennessee, and we were driving up in Tennessee, and Linda said, "I think you're lost." I said, "I sped up." She said, "I still think we're lost." So I sped even faster. And she said, "Do you hear me? We're lost." I said, "Yeah, but we're making good time." How many in here not sure what's going on, but you just keep speeding up thinking you'll get there? You got to know where you're going. So recognize that the flame is becoming an ember. All right? And when you recognize this, no longer do you say, "I got this," because that is a falsehood. I don't. Then you have to remember that when I don't have it, God does. You see, a lot of times if we're not careful, as long as God is blessing us, we're having a good time. Thank you for the blessing, God. Thank you for the blessing, God. Thank you for the blessing, God. And then things get rough. And we forget the same God that's blessing us is the same God that's going to protect us and lead us and guide us. And so you got to remember, God's in control. So I want to stop the car, get out, and get in the back seat and let God drive. I get aggravated. Look, I know y'all might, if any of y'all got this on your car, please forgive me. People ride around this on their car, "God is my co-pilot." Bless you. If I have one of my cars, it's going to say, "God is my pilot." I don't need him to be my co-pilot. He don't. Pilot the co-pilot. Pilot the co-pilot. We're flying at 7,000 feet. What do we do now? Remember that God's in control. And then relief. He wants you to give it to him. And sometimes he allows things to come your way just in order that you can give it to him. And if you've been blessed, and now all of a sudden you're stressed, maybe it's because the blesser has seen that you got your eyes off the blesser and got your eyes on the blessing. And so God says, "Okay, you need the focus shift. You need to see what's going on. Get your eyes off the blessing and get your eyes back on the blesser, and you'll find this stress getting less." That almost rhymed. Here it is. I love this. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burnt out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. And I'll show you how to take a real rest. I was watching the Three Stooges. They're in the boat. They're duck hunting. Curly is going after the duck, and the duck flies down and he sits there and he shoots a hole in the boat. Water's going up. Mo says, "Do something." So Curly shoots another hole in the boat. Now there's two things the water comes. He said, "Why'd you do that?" He said, "I put another hole in it so the water could leak out." Yuck, 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 yuck. Are you tired of carrying it on your own? Try to do this for me. For you, not me. This week, refuse to say it is what it is. Refuse it. Number two, not only refuse to say it is what it is, number two, refuse to say, "Well, I'm just long for the ride anyway, it don't matter." I had a guy who was doing the funeral for his wife a couple months ago. And he said she would never make any decisions. She wanted him to make all the decisions. And he said, "I want you to make some decisions." And so he said, "Where you want to go eat? It don't matter." And whatever he'd say, she said, "It don't matter. It don't matter. It don't matter. It don't matter. What it is, blah, 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 it don't matter." So he said, "I'm going to break her." So he got in the car and said, "Let's go riding." And he rode to Greenville and he said, You want to eat at the steakhouse?" She says, "It don't matter." So he rode to Farmville. He says, "You want to eat up here at McDonald's?" She says, "It don't matter." So then he drove on to Wilson. And he says, "You want to eat up here at the steakhouse?" She says, "It don't matter." Then he got to Raleigh and he says, "You want to eat up here at the Japanese place?" She says, "It don't matter." So he starts riding to Cary and she says, "Ho! What's going on?" He says, we're going to ride till it matters. Wow. Don't say it is what it is. Refuse to say it is what it is. Refuse to say I'm just along for the ride. And the one everybody likes to use is I'm just pulling my eight. No, no. You, from here on out, get that hunger back. God, let me get my hunger back and my appetite back for victory. God, I know we got this. God, we're going to win this thing. God, you haven't forgot me. We're going to win this thing. Yes, I'm tired. Yes, I'm worn out. Yes, I'm burnt out on all this mumbo jumbo and all the stuff going around me. But God, I know you got this and you got a plan. You've already told us it was coming. It's not a surprise to you and I'm going to trust you. You see, your faith doesn't help you avoid problems. It helps you go through problems with stability. Yes, the place has gone crazy. You can't even talk anymore. The sides don't even want to talk anymore. They just want to argue with each other. If you don't agree like that, everybody preaching tolerance, but then when you try to talk, nobody will talk. How can you solve anything like that? You can't. God's got this. And you got to believe it. Believe it. Believe it. Believe it. Brandon, come up here and play something softly, please. You turn on the news, if it's a 30-minute broadcast, you got 28 minutes of bad, 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 and 30 seconds. Of something good happened. There's a reason they do that. Because bad news sells. Bad news gets attention. The first person with the baddest news gets the biggest ratings. And then they realize they're feeding into the burnout of this age. I want everybody to stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed. God, you see us and you know us. You know us better than we know ourselves. And God, you see, Lord, those that have lost their appetite for victory. And they're just kind of cutting all the gear away and just letting them, they're just floating in the river, floating with the waves because they've lost that appetite for victory. God, I ask you today, Lord, to give them back that want to, that drive for victory, for you working in their lives very strongly right now. Yes, there's a lot of things to discourage us, and yes, there's a lot of things that can hurt us, and yes, there's a lot of things going on in this world that you got to step in, God, because without you, we're sunk. But until that time when we give it over to you, I'm going to give mine over to you, and I'm going to hold on to your hand. Because those nail-scarred hands have never let me down. Let's pray together. Lord, I give my life all over again to you. I thank you, God, for renewal in my life. I thank you, God, that we're not fighting by ourselves. I give every heartache, every problem, everything that's burning me out to you right now. And I trust you 100%. Help me to get back my hunger and my appetite for victory. And I thank you for it today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And I'll give you the glory when this is all over. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God's got this. You're going to pray? We're going to have a prayer. Now, come on up. I'll pray for her. Linda. Okay. Okay. That's good. Are ready? Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we know, God, that you've got this. We trust you right now in the name of Jesus. Touch Linda. Lord, from the top of her head to the soles of her feet, Lord. Father, this rebound, Lord, let it be gone. Lord, let her feel good again. And we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. And Lord, all those people here in this church, Lord, that are sick, they're fighting COVID and fighting the effects of COVID. Touch them right now, Diggs and Doug and all those, Lord. Touch Lord Jeanette and her family, Lord. Father, touch Patty. Lord, you've got this. We trust you right now in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, God, for what you're doing. And we know, God, that you're stronger than anything. COVID is the little C. Your son Christ is the big C. And we trust the big C over the little C any day. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And we thank you for it. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Victory, 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 victory. Y'all ready? Glory. Glory. Come on, somebody say glory. Look. Yeah, look. Ready? God, help me get back my appetite for victory. Strike the words. Come on, strike the words. It is what it is out of my mouth. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God's good. God is so, so good.